This is Let's Talk MS, the podcast of youth living with MS.
Let's Talk MS!
Welcome to Let's Talk MS, a podcast series created by Young Minds for Young Minds and proudly brought to you by the European Multiple Sclerosis Platform. I'm Anna.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And we'll be your host for today.
In this podcast series, we're about to unpack the challenges of living life as a young adult while navigating the challenges that come with multiple sclerosis or other conditions. From dating to nutrition to dealing with MS stigma, we're here to navigate it all through expert insight and personal stories.
As we reach the end of the season, the last episode will be a bit different to what we are used to. Today, we will hear in depth the story from Aida Fuentes, who was also speaking in the episode number 7, season 1, about NMOSD and MOGAD. In this new episode, we will get to know her better, her diagnosis, how she's dealing with the condition in general. She will light us with her attitude and positivism. Thanks, Aida, for joining the conversation again.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for giving more visibility to conditions like NMO. Sure, thank you.
We are so happy to have you. In the previous episode, we had the chance to understand what NMOSD and MOGAD are. But now, I would like to ask you in more detail what your symptoms were when you were diagnosed.
Well, in my case, I think it was a little bit strange. I was diagnosed after just giving birth to my son. Well, I think that was then when my first episode started. But before, I experienced strange things. Like, for example, I felt my right leg very weak, but that happened to me just once a year. I mean, that was very random, you know. Well, it was strange. I couldn't walk for when I was too tired or whatever. And I started going to the neurologist, to doctors, to say, hey, that happens to me. Is this normal? And everyone was saying that, well, maybe that's a stress or who knows. We started with tests and things, no, but they didn't know. Then I got pregnant. So we stopped all the tests. And they said, hey, we don't know if you have a condition and what condition is. So just for you to know, maybe after giving birth, you have an episode. Oh, what does it mean? Well, that means that maybe you will recover not as quick as other women, no? And I said, well, okay, but I would never imagine that. That was my first experience with NMO. So NMO show its fully face after giving birth.
Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about the tests that you were undergoing to until the diagnosis? Did you have long time waiting period? How were you accompanied during this period by the healthcare professionals?
I had a lot of different tests. I mean, you know, all the scanners and tests that is like this. Okay, I made a lot. Then I made, you know, these, they try to put electricity in your, help me a little bit. So, what
I don't know the correct term, but it's to check with your nerves, right?
Yes. So I made a test like this. I don't know a lot. You know, sometimes I think that the head is selective and tries to give a space, even sometimes what doesn't make you suffer, no. So sometimes I remember this first test like very tedious. And very a large period and a scary period for sure. But well, what I have to say, now I'm a mom, I have a 3-year-old son. So now it's like all this stuff is from my past life. Everything is not after and before Christ, it's after and before Mateo, which is the name of my son, as you can imagine. But yeah, I made a lot of different tests. But as I said, no, at the end, my condition didn't show the fully face after giving birth. The episode was frightening, not the things that I would experience once for a year before. So yes, was different.
Could you share with us in a practical way, what does it mean to live with NMO? How do you live your like daily life?
That's a good question. I think that, you know, living with NMO, I think that I try to live with NMO. I don't want to say if I wouldn't have any condition, but it's something I'm still learning how to do it. I've been diagnosed for 3 years. I'm very stubborn. And sometimes I'm like, no, I don't have it. I don't have anything. And come on and keep working and keep doing and keep moving. But sometimes, thanks to NMO, I try to see life different. I mean, I don't feel bad if I feel tired and I sit a little bit. I don't feel bad if I wake up and I think today won't be a good day because I feel extra weak. So maybe I have to face my things differently, no? And this is like a permission I didn't give to myself before the condition. So sometimes I think that it's something that NMO give to me as a present, no? But well, also I have to say that I adapt my life a lot to NMO. I had a different job before. It's very difficult for the population to understand what you have because it's like an invisible disease. It's like, well, how is that possible that you cannot walk today? You could walk yesterday and you don't have a broken leg, for example, no? Well, yes, it's true, but I feel weak. And so that is like, it's bad seen, you know? Weak, you feel depressed because you are handling with an acceptation problem about the disease and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, people do not understand this, no? It's like, okay, tired, whatever. It's like, you are weak, no? No, I'm super strong, but I'm not in my moment, okay? So from time to time, I had to make changes with my job too. So now I have a job like it's more, I can work from home. I can permit myself, if I don't have a good day, I can keep working, but maybe I'll do it after resting a little bit, or if I can do it from the couch with my laptop, whatever, and nothing happens. So I try to adapt my life to NMO.
Yeah, I think it's really important to accept what you were saying before, like accept that today you don't have a good day. So you are just going to lay the whole day on the sofa and that's okay. We don't need to be productive and we can just do nothing. And that's okay because we need this time for us and just relax and sleep or read or just take life a bit slower because sometimes life, it's so fast and we want to do many things. So thanks for sharing this comment because I really like the idea of accepting bad days and days that are not perfect, we can say. So
maybe I can just build on this just a little bit because what you're saying here is important also in terms of accepting for yourself, but also making the people around you accepting. And I was wondering also if you can maybe tell us a little bit more how it was to explain to your family and the people around you what are your needs and how it was to interact with the people because it's a rare condition. So probably no one heard about it before, or very few people, and there is a lack of communities there to support. So as you said, you didn't have peer to talk to, people that you know with NMO with whom you can share your experiences. So how was that experience of sharing about what are your needs with your family and friends?
It's a strange thing because I think that the people who suffer from NMO or other conditions, first of all, we have to understand by ourselves what the hell is happening in our lives and what we experience, and we have to learn how to listen to ourselves, to our bodies, no? So it's difficult to tell people, to teach people about the condition when you are learning, you know, in your own skin. And also sometimes I think that the way I am, that's stubborn and nothing happens. And weak, not me. Tired, not me. Sad, not me, you know? Okay, I think that this way of being, not asking for help, never, and it's things that we have in our brain, you know, in our head that we cannot, and hey, now I'm learning. I'm like re-educating myself. That nothing happens if you ask for help. But I come from a family that we are like strong. I mean, weak is not a word in my home, you know, or tiredness, no? Well, hey, Aida, what happened to you? You go to the doctor today? Yes, but well, nothing. We're making tests. Everything's okay. Oh, mom, dad, I had this diagnosed. Oh, and what's that? You know, I always take too much iron, maybe, from the situation. And at the end, there was days that I couldn't walk. I feel extra tired. And so I couldn't bring my son to see his grandma and grandpa because I felt super tired. And I remember one day my mom came in. Okay, Aida, what the fuck happens to you? Well, mom, I don't feel well. I don't feel okay. How's that possible? What's happening to you? Well, mom, I have a condition. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I didn't help them to introduce themselves to my new life, to my condition. And so I always go to the doctor alone. I always go to the treatment alone. I don't used to speak about my condition. Of course, now it's a blessing. I mean, being able to talk to you that we speak the same language is amazing. But I'm not used to talk about that, no? So sometimes I think that I should involve more my family in these issues for making them understand me a little better. But if you ask me all that, I completely fail. So I'm not a good example about that.
I think it's a strong word, fail. I don't think there is failure in this situation. You have your own experience. It's your journey. There is no failure in that.
Thank you. But you're very nice.
In an ideal world, Aida, what would have you wished to have when you were diagnosed, and what would have made it easier for you?
You know, sometimes I think that when I was diagnosed, the word that came to my mind is scary. I was frightened, okay? And lonely. I felt lonely. I had my couple before, and he came with me to the doctor, and he was very supportive at that moment, I have to say. So I could share things with him and talk about that. And he helped me about all the stuff because he saw what was going on. Not my parents, no? Because I wasn't living with my parents then, no? But I felt lonely because people that care about you, they are scary when they see that you are not okay. They are scary because they don't know how they can help you, how to take care of you, no? Sometimes it's like, well, I don't want to worry them. So I won't say them that I cannot move my legs today because I don't want to worry them. Because of all that stuff, and because I didn't know anyone, not with NMO or with MS, I felt a little lonely in this beginning, no, in the beginning of this journey. Now, before starting recording, I told you, hey, you know, I never met anyone with NMO. No, because NMO is a straight. With MS, yes. But, you know, talking to people with MS is like, in a way, you can feel like you are not alone because you feel that, well, you experience more or less the same. And what I try now, there in Spain, in Catalonia, or with Anna, no? We have like a huge group with a lot of people diagnosed and everything, no? The majority of these people are diagnosed with MS, not with NMO, but where, you know, more or less everything is related. And I try to be as kind as possible with all the people that are already diagnosed. Because I imagine themselves having maybe the worst period of their lives. They feel scared. They feel alone. And if I can give them this, if I can accompany them through this process, as I feel that was a lack, no, in the beginning of everything, I think that maybe I can help them. So if something I lack, I think I was missing with the process was this, to feel accompanied, but not with doctors or with public, which great, you need that too, but with people that suffer from the same, to know their experience, you need to know.
Yeah, it really helps to have a network of people from your age or from
and
similar.
Also from our age. I mean, that's yeah. Super important because, okay, you can meet people, but they have, I don't know, 50, 60 years. Well, yes, but our day-to-day is not the same, you know. So young people, is there young people with my same condition? Yes, it is. Find them, you know. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
And in here you are. So thank you.
We are in this group, and like 1 or 2 months ago, I was just scrolling and I saw, hello, I'm Aida. I don't have MS, but I have NMO. And I was like, oh. Yeah. And I just texted her, and that's why we are here today. So that's glad that you sent that message.
That was super random. Yeah, in fact, it's a group, a WhatsApp group that I don't used to talk in this group. But there was a very young girl called Ida too, by the way. She was already diagnosed a couple of months ago from MS, and she was scared. She was in her episode and she was asking for information and she was asking for support. I entered to this WhatsApp group after years being diagnosed. So, well, yes, okay, it's nice. But when I saw her that young with my same name, I mean, I felt, oh my God, this is me. This is me 3 years before. And I thought, well, if talking to her, I can help her. And that's why I said, well, Ida, it's Ida. I don't have MS, but I have NMO. And that's when we met with Anna, because I didn't used to interact in this group. But, well, that's life. So that happened because that was meant to be.
Yeah. That's great.
I also just read the messages and I see your message. And I wanted to say something aligned with what you were saying before. And I feel that sometimes when we have a chronic condition, such MS, NMO, or MOGAD, we have a lot of emotional load just ourselves, just with the fact of having the condition. So little by little, it's also, I think it helps to understand that we are not responsible of the way that our friends or families interact with our condition. We are just responsible of the tools, maybe we can say the tools that we give to them, but their reaction is their reaction and you have nothing to do with that. So I don't know if you understand what I mean, but
Sometimes I think, it's true what you say. But I also think, well, but what about the information I give to them? Maybe I give them the wrong information today to react this way. I mean, for example, I have my sister. After years, I told them, I was diagnosed with this. What does it mean? That means that sometimes I feel weak, sometimes, you know. And I remember once I lose an arm, no? Because, when you feel too much weakness, no, in an arm that you cannot even move. And my sister said, hey, does it hurt you? Because if this hurts you, I have like a wrist bracelet that maybe can help you. Huh. And I thought, hurt me? No, thanks God. Now it's not hurting me. But it's just that it weighs too much so I can move it. And then I thought, oh, they are not understanding me. When they see me, I'm walking wrong. They said, oh, Ida, that must hurt. No, that doesn't hurt. It's just that it weighs too much, so I cannot move properly. And sometimes, I think, well, you cannot do anything the way other people understand you or understand their condition. But sometimes I think that maybe I have an important paper with the information I give to them so they can understand me. Sometimes I don't know what you have to do, what you have to say or what you don't have to say. So I guess it's learning life process.
So first of all, yes, we're up to the challenge. We will bring more young people together to make sure that we can create this of people and maybe develop some peer support moving forward.
This is amazing.
We know that across Europe, we see that there are more and more ambassadors for these rare conditions that are coming up. We see that there are organizations that are being established to support, to have this community building. So we will start here at the European level with the young people and also to try to raise more and more awareness, because there is a huge gap there at the European level. So it's really important that we keep talking about it, speaking up about this, that we can understand from your experience and your journey what are the gaps, what can we do to help these communities. And most importantly, I think that what you said here, very in your simple words, is like how to address this loneliness of the people. And I guess with bringing the different perspective from the different stakeholders that you have around you as a patient, you have the healthcare professionals, and we understand now that the healthcare professionals, they do their best, but maybe that's not enough. For the families and friends, there is this misunderstanding that we still need to help them, provide them with more information and also maybe educational material that can help for, so to see how we can develop that together with you guys that have been through that journey and can help us to develop those things. So I think in practice, there are a lot of things that we can do. And I hope this is really just the beginning of what this journey is going to be about for us. But as a young person, what would be the advice that you will give to the young people now?
I would say that related to this that you were saying before, something I learned after a lot of therapy sessions is that we have to teach the people how to help. Maybe I need something, but another one needs just the opposite. So talk, communication, talk to them, teach them what you need, because they want to help you. The people that care about us, they want to help us, but they don't know how to do it. So just understand that this is the new life we are living, that nothing happens, everything's okay, that we can do the same things we could do before the condition, but in a different way. And that doesn't mean it's a process of acceptance that you have to go through, but don't want to rush. Just enjoy the process, the path. Everything will be better. Just try to make it as smooth and softer as you can. Permit yourself, give yourself a day of rest, give yourself a silence moment, play the music you want, a chill one if you need or not, or whatever, you know, listen to yourself. And when you feel ready, talk to the people they care about you, so you can teach them how to help you. I think that could be my advice.
That's very beautifully said. I really appreciate that message. It's really important. And yeah, thank you very much for sharing this, all your journey. It's a very strong story that will inspire, I guess, many people and hopefully help us build further. I think Edna had some games for us that she planned.
Yes.
Okay.
Before ending, we'll have a fun rapid fire round. So I will ask you questions and you need to answer as fast as possible. Just
okay.
Say the first thing that pops up in your mind.
Oh my God. Sorry if I say tonterías. Tonterías is a Spanish word. That means a silly thing. So sorry if I say silly things.
Okay. That's okay. That's perfect. That's what we want to hear, actually.
Oh my God.
Okay. So first question, morning person or night owl?
Oh, night owl for sure.
And you, Elizabeth?
Night owl.
Yes.
Definitely.
I'm a morning person.
Oh my God. Anna.
Okay, next question. What's your comfort food on a difficult day?
Oh, I have to be quick. My comfort food is something that doesn't make me feel bad if I'm eating. So maybe, I don't know. Yesterday was a difficult day and my comfort food was an apple. Ooh, I don't know if it's a pistachios.
That's not my conception of a...
It's very healthy. Nice.
Yeah. It's nice to have nice. Healthy food. But when I think about this concept, I always think about junk food, unfortunately. Yeah, that's what I have related.
Yeah, also, yeah. But you know...
But it's good for you either. Yeah.
I'm a little bit obsessed. Because the other day, for example, I was reading an article about how the junk food can harm yourself with the condition.
That's true.
And I don't feel fine. You know, when I go to the McDonald's, it's been a while since I didn't go to McDonald's, but that doesn't mean that I don't think in McDonald's, you know, it's like a drug. So sometimes I think, oh, these fries, this hamburger, oh my God, full of gluten. Oh my God. But then I thought, okay, Aida, is that a good thing? So. Yeah. I won't feel fine after that. My condition will get worse if I take a hamburger. So, okay, an apple is not that tasty, but I think I will get better. So in my bad moments, help me knowing that I'm making good decisions. I'm taking good decisions. I have good habits. I try to. But I like McDonald's and I like pizzas and I like junk food for sure.
We'll take apple as an answer and... I love this answer.
Thank you.
Stick to the healthy options.
Yeah, always healthy option. I would have said pizza, but I also love apples.
I feel guilty about giving my answer now. I won't give my answer. Thank you, Anna.
You can tell us later.
I will. Offline.
Okay, so next question. Maybe this one is a bit more tricky, but what's the most unexpected way that, in your case, NMO, change your life?
walking or feeling tired. What the hell, feeling tired? Yeah, sometimes I feel tired in a way that I cannot continue doing things, and I have to wait. I mean, I have to rest to keep moving. And I didn't experience that before, so that's strange for me.
Yeah, perfect. And we already have the last question. So what change would you like to see in our society regarding rare diseases? Elizabeth, you can also answer this one.
I think that what would be amazing is that people judge less, and that they, at the end, it could be amazing if they can be more open to different conditions. I mean, even young people can have conditions, you know, and even young people can struggle walking or doing other things. And it's like, that's the conception, no? Like, young people, they can do whatever. They are strong, they are young, their body is perfect. Not always. And there's old people who are amazing too. So not, that doesn't mean that old people has to struggle with health problems either, no? It's all about persons. It's all different. So just don't judge, don't have, you know, just know the person and know the reality before making a judge. Or sometimes we judge with the actions we made. So I would love that in the future. Can you do magic or something?
I will try. I would say that I think in my case, what I would like to, and I really would like our societies and the people around us to understand that rare conditions is a disease. It's not, because it's rare, it's the value of it, the weight of it is not less. And that we stop using the word just. It's just 600 people. It's just 300 people. No, it's just people. It's not just people. It's people with a condition. And the weight that we're putting on the rare conditions by this just this simple word is putting an imbalance in the society on how we perceive it, how we pay attention to the people that are affected by this condition, which really isn't fair. It's unfair, and it's not how it should be perceived. So it's not just a condition. It's a condition. It's not just a little number of people that we're talking about. It's about people, about their rights, about empowering those also people to have their own voice. And we need to treat that equally. So I think that's a very strong message. And I know it's difficult because when we look at the economics behind this, and there are multiple valid reasons why people will talk about the rare conditions the way they are doing. But we need to change that and to reform that little by little. So I guess by also showing more and more people the faces behind these conditions, we hope we can make a change here.
Yeah. Elizabeth, that's super inspiring. Thank you, because I like the way you see things. And sure, there's a lot of truth in your words. So thank you.
Yeah, actually, thank you both for your words. So in a sum up, judge less and stop saying just. That, I think, it's an important message.
For sure.
Yeah. And that wraps up this episode of Let's Talk MS. A big thank you to Aida. Thanks for being here today and sharing with us.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing with us your experience and valuable insight. It was really nice to have you here today. This wraps up this episode and first season of the Let's Talk MS podcast. A big thank you to all our guests. It has been a pleasure to explore so many different topics and hear such personal and powerful stories. You can listen to all the episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you would like to support the podcast, you can do so on Patreon. And before we go, we are excited to announce that season 2 is coming soon. So stay tuned for more episodes by following us on Instagram and Twitter at @EUMSYouth. Until next time, bye!